Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose bright stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, all the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Well, shit.
You know.
We are back with another episode of the B. Scott Show podcast. And that pretty much sums up how I feel right now. It really does. I mean, when she got up there, that was Macy Grace. Macy Gray singing the national anthem. And I wanted somebody to put her out of her misery.
I expected worse. I really did, but that was not the move.
It was not the move. Like, I was like, if she don't sit down or somebody don't kick her down or something, I was like, I mean, and then where does she come from? Like, she literally, like, I haven't seen her in a thousand moons, and here she is singing the damn national anthem. Like,
I don't know. It was a discounted rate, I guess. They got her for the low low.
Oh my goodness. So I went out last night and I'm hungover.
Where'd you go?
Bar hopped in West Hollywood. It was very unfortunate. It was just because I hadn't been out in like forever. And so I went out and everybody was like, oh my God, B's out. Oh my God, you know, I see you. You know, because I've been like the Uber recluse. Mm-hmm. But I definitely busted it last night, meaning like everywhere, like literally. I mean, we went from, I went to Rocco's, then we walked past the Abbey, then I went to Trunks, then from Trunks, we went to Heart, WeHo, which used to be Rage, and it was a whole bunch of drama and stuff. You know, it was like a lot of just unnecessary stuff, and then it got to a point, I had this mechanism inside of me when I have too many drinks, I instinctually just go home. Like, my instincts kick in. I'm like, I gotta go. Yeah. Like, don't matter who I'm with, who I'm talking to, whatever the situation is.
Like, I'm too drunk to have fun. I gotta go home.
Absolutely. And then knocked out. And then, of course, I had people at my house like 7 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, and I literally like had somebody staring in my face first thing in the morning. And I looked like somebody had just like run over me. Jeez. But we're here. And how was your weekend, Debra?
You know what? My weekend was pretty chill, actually. Let's see. Went to a friend's dinner on like Saturday night, just some random thing. Then we ended up at the warehouse for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And then, that was Friday night. And then Saturday night, like my boyfriend and I, we slept. And then we woke up to go to the after hours. So we went from like 3 to 8. And then came back home at like 8:30 and then slept until like 1 or 2. And then, you know, got up, did some work, watched Euphoria.
And the people have been very interested in your vacation. I don't think you talked about, you were saying you were going. I think the last podcast we did, you were told everyone that you were about to go yonder. But you didn't say what happened. You got to update people on your adventure.
No, I mean, we went to Puerto Vallarta. It was nice. We were there for a week. We had a cute little Airbnb in town. But this time we stayed kind of on the local side. Mm-hmm. And it was cool because it was right next to like a handmade tortilla place. And then there was like a fish market. And we went and there's a gym one block over. So we went and signed up for a week pass for the gym. And so we kind of got into like this weird routine of like actually living there, which was really nice. Mm-hmm. And of course, we did all the fun stuff. Like we spent a lot of time at Mantamar, which is like the luxury gay beach club, mm-hmm. which is my favorite place there.
That was the one when you were there with a bunch of white gays?
Mm-hmm. The big turquoise mm-hmm. pool. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It looked really fun.
It is fun. It's fun. You know, it's the first time I've ever been to like a beach club that's gay, just strictly gay. I mean, you know, it's straight friendly, but it's catered to gay people. And it's part of like the Almar group, and they have a bunch of like gay centered luxury resorts.
Wow.
I think it's like the only 5-star like gay resort around that area. So it was really nice. Mm-hmm. And we were there for the white party. So, of course, we oomsed a couple nights. And
And then my mama called it a boomaloom.
A boomaloom. Yeah, a boomaloom. I was in there boomalooming. Woke up the next morning, my hips were on fire. I was like, damn, I was moving that much.
Oh my God.
I know.
You do have like tight hips, so you probably like.
I know. Mm. I'm about to see a chiropractor next week.
Yoga.
I'm about to see a chiropractor next week.
I know, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stiff too. I need to do yoga. Keep telling my friend, like, you know, one of my closest friends, like, we need to do yoga. And we never do it.
That's the thing. After 30, things start changing.
I did a hike the other day, and I was like, when I sat down, I almost couldn't get back up. I was like, ooh.
What is going on?
Yeah, but, you know, the thing about it, it's a slippery slope to fuckery if you don't stay on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you either just have to commit to it and just, you know, do a little something each day in terms of, like, maybe 30. I do, like, 30 to 60 minutes of stuff a day as far as exercise, because now my whole, like, little MO has changed from, at one point, I was trying to be more muscular, and then I just kind of shifted that in reverse. And now I'm just doing a bunch of cardio, but it does take a toll. But I'd rather it to tire me out than to not look the way that I want to look.
Right. And
you that's know, really we all have our personal goal. So I would not be on television not looking snatched. Okay.
Hello. That's what we won't do.
Oh, speaking of television, you know, we had an exclusive.
Sure did.
And I hope we have our little sound effect.
AV there you go. Scott.
Exclusive!
Abso-freaking-lutely. And this was one, I mean, when we dropped it, we had been dropping Wendy Williams stuff for quite some time. And I had just said on the other podcast that we did that I had decided to stay out of it for the most part. But we got the official confirmation exclusively that the Wendy Williams show was coming to an end and will be coming to an end in June. And that basically they set the staff down, the whole crew, and said that it's over. The show, the Wendy Williams show, is coming to an end or being canceled in June. And then the next breath, they said, we would like for you to hire you to work for the Sherry Shepherd show. And I think she's going to just call the show Sherry, the Sherry show, much like the Wendy show. And we also said that, you know, Wendy doesn't have any type of control over the Instagram account or the website or any of it. Mm-hmm. And that makes me sad. It also makes me sad to see her. She has a quote unquote official alternate Instagram page that she's been using. And the whole situation is just not what I would have ever imagined or want anyone to go through as far as ending their career, you know?
Right. I agree.
And, you know, and for all the people who are saying that they feel like this is karma for her, I don't buy that at all. I think that this is just a really sad situation. Like, it's to the point where it's like, I can't even crack a joke about it. You know, it's like, it's just eek to me. And it's also a cautionary tale, even for me and how I do my deals moving forward, that I'll be damned if I build something, it's Wendy's house, if you catch my drift. Like, she built that show. She built basically the whole setup. She amassed those followers on Instagram, and they are basically just pushing her completely out of it and just subbing Sherry in. And that's not to say that I'm not happy for Sherry, but at the same time, something about the situation just not rubbing me right.
Yeah, there's something weird going on. There's something weird going on. And I don't think, like, anything weird with the show. But there are two dueling narratives that are being pushed. Like, one, I think, is coming from, like, Wendy's personal side. And one's coming from the show side. And they don't exactly line up.
Absolutely. And, you know, it just, for us, I had to drop the exclusive because I got the information. Like I said, I always be minding my business. And then all of a sudden, some tea gets poured my direction. And at the end of the day, we choose to run things like we do that are factual. We don't lie. And
we don't kill people.
We don't kill people. You know, the queen is still alive. God save the queen. And that's really what it is. I mean, you know, we don't run. This is not media takeout.
Right.
Okay. And our stories are not something that you have a 50-50 chance of getting it right or it being wrong. I don't play those games. Okay. And someone had brought up, you know, in the past, we had said that the Wendy Williams show was, very likely coming to an end. And that was true at that time. But we did say very likely coming to an end. We didn't say her show was canceled for sure. We said very likely coming to an end. And it was the beginning of the very likely coming to an end. And it should have ended then. That was a plan. And that's why that's kind of how they were trying to do it. She was executive producer on the Jerry O'Connell show. Mm-hmm. And that if that had done well, that would have replaced her. And she would have still been making money off the house she built. But now, because of how things played out, she's not going to be making a dime from the Sherry show.
That's awesome. And,
you know, I think that, yeah, we are in the business of dropping exclusives and keeping the information factual. And I think in the last couple of days and over the last week, it shows that we're not all the same. And people try to come for us and say all type of things about us. But at the end of the day, one thing we don't do is lie. And then lie about something so far-fetched. I'm not even doing this as like a reprimand or anything. It's just hilarious. It's just a sign of the times. You cannot make this shit up. Say what now?
Listen, I was on the flight back home when all of that was unfolding, and I just looked down at my phone and I was like, I saw you had sent me the link, and I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Come again.
I mean, just throw it all away. Just throw it away. And I also think that we have been applying pressure. We have been applying pressure, not, I'm saying just across the board in terms of Black media can't seem to get an exclusive on anything, even though they have so many people that are dedicated to their businesses. And they just can't seem to get exclusive to save their lives. And I think it's just that desperation led to an unfortunate
blunder.
Blunder, a hypothetical killing of the queen. And I think just fundamentally, I think that it's interesting how people don't really have, because I mean, I forget that I watch certain things, like I watch the History Channel. I like watching like documentaries and things, and like especially anything that pertains to royalty or like mystical power. You know what I mean? That's my whole little thing. Like anything that has like pomps and circumstances to it, I watch it. And so I instantly knew that that could not possibly be true because of the fact that when a monarch passes away, any monarch, it's basically the equivalent to a certain degree of like a president or something being killed or dying or whatever. Like the transfer of power has to be immediate, mm-hmm. right? It has to be really quickly happening because all the territories that the queen still oversees and still right. is the head of,
you can't cannot even go,
yes, it can't even go a day. It cannot even go hours without another person, you know what I mean, succeeding right. her to be able to, in the past, it was more of an active role, but now it's more of a dormant role, but to lead, to right. to rule.
It's an institution.
Right. So that alone, it's not even about, it's bigger than that. It's not even about, shade or trying to, you know, gloat and someone getting it wrong. It's just like, I just wish people had more of a, just a basic knowledge of how, you know, certain things go down. And it wouldn't be something that people would be trying to cover up because they didn't want the information out. It would be something that would be, have to be put out publicly very soon. And the transfer of power, because of the leadership position and the fact that they reign, mm-hmm. that has to happen quickly. So I'm like, this is just foolishness.
What got me, and it really represents this year. Dead. That's what got me. Like, she was found, like the queen was just chilling in her room, and then somebody happened to walk by and found her dead. And that shit doesn't happen. Especially after having COVID. I'm sure she's monitored all types of shit.
Absolutely.
So I was just, and it was a lot going on.
Yeah, it's like if the president of the United States was in the hospital, they would have somebody with them around the clock.
Especially at 95.
Absolutely. At any age. I mean, like if you let Biden go to, what is it, Walter Reed or something, they going to be mm-hmm. with him from the start to finish, every minute on the minute until he leaves there. And if he has some type of condition going on, you know they would be checking on him. And it's just, it was just too much. And then of all the things, she was supposed to be going to a wedding.
A black she gay, has, I mean, not a black gay wedding, but a black man's wedding.
A black man's wedding. And she had COVID. I said, this is just,
none of this makes sense.
Mm-hmm. None of it. And then got the nerve to call it a royal kingdom.
Mm. I said. And then quadruple down on it.
It was just too much. It's just too much. Like, it's just, and then the only thing that changed the narrative there is that Russia invaded Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So it would take something like a World War III for people to get past.
Somebody killing the queen.
And you have to laugh at it. And
you do. You just have to laugh.
I think you have to laugh at it. And I think one day, all the people involved with that story would laugh about it too, just because it's comical, you know. And that's pretty much how I view a lot of things right now, especially with celebrity news and entertainment. It's too much going on. It's so random. I have to laugh at a lot of it, or just roll my eyes and keep on doing what I'm doing, because it's just the absurdity level right now.
It'll drive you nuts.
It would drive you nuts. It's at an all-time high. What is going on with, I mean, can we just talk about Trey Songz? Like, he's so many.
I mean, he is. I mean, everybody can't be lying. That's my whole thing. Everybody cannot be lying. There's been multiple lawsuits. Okay, that one, I guess, basketball player who accused him. I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's a lot of smoke.
Hmm. Yeah.
And even outside of, like, the sexual assault, like, he's documented violent, breaking stages and throwing punches and all. You know, it's just that type of energy. There's something mm-hmm. really sinister happening over there in the Trey mm-hmm. Songz household.
And then you see all the people trying to excuse the behavior because he's attractive or because he's famous. Mm-hmm. Or trying to speculate that it couldn't be true because he wouldn't have to rape anybody. People don't even understand.
No, rape is about power.
Rape. It's about control. It's about power. You're right. It's motherfucking sick, man. I was like,
And I thought that like once he had a child, you know, maybe his temperament would calm down and maybe these things wouldn't be happening, but no. Unfortunately not.
Unfortunately freaking not.
But I mean, we touched on it a little bit. There's like 10 stories.
It's in back to back to back.
Back to back to back. But yeah, we touched on what?
I said we touched on the Ukraine thing. Like, I mean, it's just crazy. That is crazy in and of itself. Like, Putin literally invaded another country. Like, and everybody is just basically sitting around. Besides, I did not expect the president of Ukraine to be so vigilant and so tenacious. He's about it. He is fighting. He said he's not leaving. We offered him a ride out of the country to evacuate him. He said, I don't need a ride out of the country. I need ammunition.
Okay.
That's the type of shit that turns me on. That when I heard that, he said, oh, I ain't leaving. I need some ammunition. I said, baby, I got some ammunition for you.
Oh, my God. Well, let me send you over there.
Baby. The way I wouldn't fight and do nothing.
It's nuts.
I don't care what was happening in the United States or what was happening or what battle we chose to be in, whatever the case may be. I will not be fighting in nobody's war.
Nope. Throw me in the jail.
It won't happen.
Not at all.
Throw me in jail. I would go straight to jail.
But I thought gays can't serve. Isn't that true? Like, can we not serve? I thought the gays can't serve or something like that. Don't ask, don't tell. Is that still a thing?
I think Trump was trying to bring it back.
Got rid of it, but then didn't Trump bring it back?
Just like the Florida. Florida's trying to bring back. I'm like, the biggest LGBTQ plus massacre happened in Florida, right? At Pulse?
Mm-hmm, at Pulse.
And now that's the place where they are going. Their Senate or Congress, whatever, filed or passed.
The Don't Say Gay Bill.
Don't say gay bill. What the hell? That's the only thing about that's the only thing keeping me from doing something in Miami is that, like, you know, I'm thinking like, well, maybe I might get something there, buy a piece. Like, but no, I cannot be in a place where they're trying to say that I can't say that I'm gay.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
They're just looking for polarizing issues to maintain power.
Like, I do not know how we got here. And people want to pretend like it's Trump and that he's, you know, the cause of everything. But no, he just exposed a lot of racist and other fucked up shit in this country.
And he exposed how if you make those type of issues central to your platform, you can get simple-minded people to vote for you.
Mm-hmm. And make a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm. That's not even a real, it's not even a thing.
It's not even a thing.
Like, what?
And then you have a boy down in Texas, you know, saying people who give their kids, you know, a gender affirming, you know, whatever the case, they can be labeled as child abusers.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be investigating them.
I think California should just secede from the union. I think California should just go on and leave the United States.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like, you know, I had contemplated a lot of things. Like, maybe I could live somewhere else, or maybe I can do... I was like, nope. California's it. It's not perfect. You know, we have our issues. You know, and it's interesting, too, because people see the homeless situation, and they think that it is bad. Don't get me wrong. It is bad.
Terrible.
But they think it's far more pervasive than it is. It's primarily affecting downtown area and the urban places. Mm. And a lot of the more affluent parts of LA and the city, you don't see homeless people at all. And that just kind of just shows just the disparity, you know, that exists. It's kind of like with the crime. Like, crime still goes on all over LA, but when it hits certain areas, that's when it's like things are out of control.
Right.
Oh my God. That's what happens. So I think, you know, LA's, it's not perfect, but it's home, because I can't deal with any of that foolishness. Like, I cannot be living in a red state where they're even come out their mouth about some bullshit. Like, as if they don't have so many other things they could focus on to make people's quality of life better than trying to separate us with these issues that are non-existent.
Right. I will say the one thing about being in Mexico for a week was you realize how in other places, what happened in the U.S., it does not matter. Like, they don't give a shit. It's its own country, but it's such a simple life. And you kind of wonder, like, damn, could I really do this every day? Because in some instances, it does seem like it would be a lot easier. Just walk everywhere and have your little fruit stand and make your money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was thinking about, I had mentioned to you about Tulum. Mm-hmm. But I'm just really anxious about sending any type of money overseas. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I might go back there for our birthday.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Back to Puerto Vallarta.
Tulum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I want to do.
Trying to go somewhere over towards the Europe, I just don't feel like it's the best idea right now. Mm-mm. So that kind of limits me to over here and Mexico. I mean, it's a quick flight for the most part.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I need to do more exploring in Mexico just so I have a better idea of what's going on. But it's so quick for us. It's literally like a hop and a skip.
I know. If shit ever goes down to California, that's where I'm going.
Going straight to Mexico.
I'm hopping right over the border. When I'm serious. I'm dead ass. We get the bombing and stuff over here. I'm out. So you saw Jason Momoa. He went and moved back home.
I did. And that tweet went freaking viral.
It took off.
It took off on Twitter. It's the whole situation.
And I don't blame him.
And Miguel did too.
And Miguel did too.
Yep. Ain't nothing in these streets. It's nothing in the streets. Like, literally, I was in them last night.
And you sure were.
I was in the streets last night and it is nothing there. It's literally bleak. And if you have a good thing, if you have somebody that you have a connection with and you feel like you can do some work to get you back to a really great place, then why not?
I mean, they're together for like 15 years or something, like since 2005, whatever math that is. That's a long time to just leave.
And you mentioned it briefly, but Euphoria, the finale was last night, right?
Yes, it
was.
What
did you think of it? You do a whole thing. You can't come over here and then not give us the breakdown when you do a whole little space, Twitter space situation.
So let me tell you. I actually enjoyed the finale. It felt very final, as if like when they filmed it, they weren't expecting a season 3. But with that being said, I think that it left a lot of things open. People are complaining that it left a lot of questions, but I think that was intentional. Because I think a lot of the questions people still have don't really need to be answered because it wouldn't affect the story either way. I'm trying not to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it. What can I say? There was a performance that lasted entirely too long. Okay. I think that Cassie didn't get the ass whipping she deserved. She got a piece of it. Her mom is the star. I'm rooting for Rue's sobriety. And season 3 premieres in 2024.
Wow.
So we've got some time.
It's turned out to be one of the top shows.
It is. It is.
For that streaming service.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
And people were upset last night that it crashed.
It crashed?
It crashed. Not for me, but for people. Mm-hmm. But you started it, didn't you?
I started it, but it was too dark for me initially. Like, I'm going to have to, because I'm in a good space right now.
Oh, yeah.
I just, I'm really kind of like that. Like, I'm really at that space right now in general, just in life. Like, I just had a conversation with one of my friends who constantly brings me like doom and gloom. It's always some shit with her. Mm. And I literally had to tell her, I can't take any more of your shit. I don't want to hear it. Bring me the good stuff. I have like at capacity. I just can't be that dumpster for you anymore, where you just call me and you just tell me all this random bad stuff that has happened to you on that particular day. She has to find a new friend dumpster. Because
A friend dumpster.
Because it takes a lot to keep in this society and with everything that's going on, it takes a lot to keep yourself centered and in a somewhat happy space. And if you have to distance yourself from family, from friends, from coworkers, from whatever the case may be, then by all means do it. Like, you have to save yourself. And
I agree.
That's how I feel. And that relates to euphoria in a much milder way in regards to, like, I just, it's a bit dark.
It is. But I do watch it like, ooh, at least I'm not a crackhead. Like, it could be so much worse. You know, like, shit goes wrong. Yes, it does. But at least I'm not up here trying to shoot up.
I think that is the name of the episode. At least I'm not a crackhead. At least. If all else fails.
At least I'm not a crackhead.
And speaking of some positive news and some happy news that I was actually happy to see, Debrett marries her twin flame, Judy Dupart.
Mm-hmm. Good for her.
I tell you one thing. It was a whole lot of ass up on that podium.
Baby. It sure was.
It was booty.
Okay, brought your own cake to the wedding.
Baby, when I tell you, I'm just fascinated at Judy's butt. I just be watching. It's mesmerizing. It's literally like, I feel like, it's like the sofa I bought, the cloud sofa from Restoration. Mm-hmm. I feel like it probably feels like that. Just if you lay your head on, it's like whoosh.
Like a Charmin.
And that's
commercial.
How she got the breath.
Probably. It was super cute to see Jermaine walk her down the aisle too. That was a nice touch.
And it was nice to see that Lisa Rae was there.
Mm-hmm. In purple. Not
in
white.
In purple. A bridesmaid. Go ahead. I don't know. I mean, it was a little dust up, right? She had said something, or she was upset, or something. They had a moment.
She was upset because she didn't like
hadn't talked to her
first, or something like that. And then, like, I think she found out about the pregnancy on Instagram, or something to that effect. But I feel like with Lisa Rae, if it's not done in her specific manner, it's always going to be a dust up. She's very particular in that way,
and she's very vocal about everything.
She is. She is probably physical too. Would not put it past her.
Hey. You know, and I saw something, a couple of these stories, I'm looking at this list of things we had, you know, put on this list to talk about. And one of the things is just truly freaking disturbing. The Louisiana teacher admits to giving kids cupcakes laced with her husband's sperm.
Mm-hmm. It was like, nasty.
Who has time to think of this? Like, who, you...
Well, apparently they were in there doing all types of perverted stuff. They had, like, pictures of them with minors, and I guess they were just, like, sexual deviants to the core. And she divorced her husband, and I guess eventually told authorities that he was basically making her do all of those things. And she was, I think she was facing 68 counts of all type of debauchery, and is only facing, like, less than half of them, because she took a plea deal.
What the hell? Like, but what the kids got to do with it?
If again, you can,
you, I mean, all the freaky shit that you're doing at home, do what you got to do, but don't, why would you put the sperm on the cupcakes?
I think it just like got them off or something. I don't know. There's some sick people in this world. There are some truly sick people in this world. We ran a story today, too, about Aretha Franklin's granddaughter on American Idol. Mm-hmm. She went in there and sang one of her grandmother's songs and did not make it. Grace Franklin did not go to Hollywood.
I just feel like I did not expect that. I thought it was going to be a different outcome. I thought you were going to say she made it.
No, Katy Perry did not make it. But then Lionel Richie and whoever else was there was like, yeah, no. Yeah, I just feel like if you're Aretha Franklin's granddaughter, why are you on American Idol? You should have a direct line to someone
to make it happen.
To make it happen.
Or just wouldn't it suck to be her granddaughter and you can't sing?
Well, that's a secret I would keep to myself.
I would make people assume that I could sing, but I never sing just because I want to keep my gift to myself. Right.
Well, speaking of non-singing lineage, Tracee Ellis Ross is singing now. Have you seen that?
I did see a while back.
She did that movie.
In a movie where she was singing.
Well, she just put a song out for like in partnership with her hair care line. And everything's not for everybody. Everything is not for everybody. You know, I understand having a passion for something. And sometimes it's okay to let a passion just be a passion.
I've seen that. It's a pandemic. I mean, not pandemic. It is a pandemic. It was. But it's an epidemic in terms of people on Instagram that also think they can sing and they cannot. And hearing them, I mean, it's a lot of people that I see just like, you know, sometimes on Explore page, just randomly click on some shit. And you click on it, it's like, oh no.
No, it's worse when they're your friends. They want you to like help promote their song too.
Yeah. And the person could be as sexy and hot as all get out, but that voice.
It's not going to do it.
Is trash.
Return not gonna do it.
To sender. I did see that Monique is still talking about what Tyler Perry and Oprah did to
and
her.
I don't think she's necessarily in the wrong.
I never thought she's in the wrong, but at what point are you going to give it a rest?
True.
You know what I mean? Like, are you going to let that narrative, you have to, she has to find a place where she can move past it and forgive, and otherwise she's going to be stuck.
Well, she's already stuck, apparently.
Is she claiming that they're still blackballing her?
She is claiming that recently Tyler demanded an apology from her after admitting that he did her wrong. And she recorded it and played it for some other people like Kevin Hart, and they all called Tyler. And he was like, yeah, eventually I'll apologize, but she's got to apologize to me for X, Y, and Z.
Wow.
And that's, I mean, that's where they are.
Ooh, those egos.
They're baby.
Those egos.
Listen. And the funny thing is, you know, Monique, she definitely has an ego, but she wraps it in like this, like loving kind of, you know, I'm fighting for everyone blanket, but it's still a bit of an ego in there too.
Hey there, my dear babies. What'd she call them?
My sweet babies.
My sweet babies. My sweet, I ain't your sweet baby. Actually, I just saw what Brian said. We have a clip of Aretha Franklin's granddaughter singing, and I want to listen to this.
With his words killing me softly, with his song. Oh, 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 oh. La, 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 la.
Yeah, that needs some work.
So I mean, I'm gonna back it up because she started singing "Ain't No Way" by Aretha Franklin, and that's the one that didn't quite go so hot. And then she did the second one, and it was like, okay, it's still a no. So, yeah, that's what happened. But she's young; she's like 15, so I'm sure she'll figure it out.
Maybe she can go back and take some lessons, and you know, anything's possible.
She has time. She has time. Get on TikTok and start singing. That's what everybody else does.
People be doing everything on TikTok. TikTok is, when I tell you, that is like the only thing I still like to do on social media is go to TikTok and find videos that tickle my fancy or are interesting to me. And then I take those videos and put on Instagram. And that's the only thing that I feel like is fun for me to do, because everything else I'm really disinterested in.
Yeah.
Because people they ask me so why, you know, why is your pay? Because that's the only thing that makes me laugh and giggle about social media. Is the random shit that people be doing on TikTok. And that food be looking so good.
It does. Every time I scroll in my timeline and I see you post food, I'm like, ooh, goddammit. Diet. Scroll. I can't even watch half of them. I can't. I just have to keep scrolling.
I also saw this say one now. It's crazy. Coworker noticing fake baby bump falls woman's scheme get unwarranted maternity leave. Let me say that again. Say what now that we ran recently is the coworker noticing fake baby bump falls woman's scheme to get unwarranted. Okay.
To get maternity leave.
I guess that we the two is gone. Yes, I mean, it's crazy. The coworker noticing fake baby bump falls woman's scheme to get unwarranted maternity leave. That's some crazy stuff. I mean, that what extreme? Crazy. But I guess people, it never failed. I mean, people will go to any lengths, to any extreme, including. faking going to work bump. I guess for months with a fake baby bump.
You know, you'd be surprised what I think people get away with in this world. Like, I'm surprised, but I'm not. Because I feel like that's probably more common than we think.
Mm. And she's probably just needing a doctor to sign off on it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you say you're pregnant, who's going to, like, ultimately question you for a certain period of time? The same people who do PPP and EDD fraud, I'm sure the same people who would fake a maternity. Mm.
And they're hunting those people down.
Left and right.
Like... It is not a game. I mean, I feel bad for people. I don't know if I feel bad for them. I just think that, like, they thought that it was that the day of reckoning was never going to come. Mm. But baby, it is coming.
Mm. Did you watch the SAG Awards last night? Oh, wait, no, you were out in the streets.
I was in the streets. Never mind. And
you were in the streets.
In the streets. And I don't know. Though, it's just so interesting that we in the Black community put so much emphasis on these white award shows that really don't acknowledge us or see us, you know?
And not only do they not acknowledge or see us, but they don't necessarily advance our careers in the same way. Like, winning an award for a Black person doesn't mean the same as winning that award does for a white person. The opportunities that come from it aren't ever the same.
I mean, look at Monique. She won an Oscar. It's just, yeah, I'm that type of energy is really caused me not to want to tune in to the pomps and circumstance of award shows just to see us not be seen.
Right.
It's not the move at all. Anything else? What else did we get? We think we went through
Big Sean's meat hit the internet, but it wasn't.
Allegedly, he denied it, right?
Yeah, he denied it.
But that meat looked good. I was like, ooh.
It was a little ashy.
Yeah,
at the tip. The moisture.
Just spit on it.
And what else? You know, Kanye and Kim are still going through their divorce.
Kanye is downright. He is
nuts deep in an episode. I think so.
Yes, he's a bastard. That's really what he is. He's a piece of work, and he's harassing her.
It's harassment.
It is harassment, then he got the nerve to talk about she. Said that what he was doing was harassing, and he had a nerve to respond in court documents saying that there's no way she can prove that it was him posting those posts.
Come on now, let's walk this back, because you definitely did a post saying you were not hacked, holding right. up a sign. Those are definitely screenshots from your phone. I mean, they're definitely admissible. 100%.
Absolutely.
I don't know what his lawyer is trying to pull, but it's laughable.
And apparently he's on like his third set of attorneys.
Mm-hmm, probably fifth by now.
Ugh. And did you listen to the album? Did you buy the thing?
I haven't listened to it. I haven't played it. I haven't heard a clip. First of all, if it was on the internet, I would have played it. But I'm not going to get a stem player to listen to an unfinished album that's going to change. It just doesn't make sense for me. Like, I'm not that invested. If I were, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, hell yeah, I would have pre-ordered it. But I'm off the ship. I haven't even watched the Netflix thing.
And you know, what's so crazy,
I can't bring myself to watch it.
I can't watch that. I was like, I'd rather just do anything with my time but that. But the one thing that I really, let me tell you something. He is doing stuff like Sunday service, and everything is supposed to have this religious, I mean, Christian overtone, right? Mm. But actually, it feels demonic.
It really does.
Nothing about what he's doing feels positive, or you know what I mean? Like, it's just like you basically, it feels like he's demonizing Christianity in a way. Like, everyone's wearing these dark colors, it's dark in the room, and everyone's walking around in like this like cultish manner. And even when you see him hanging out with all these people, is the energy that the vibe from these people collectively is not good energy. It's evil. Like there's some sinister stuff at play. When I see this stuff, it doesn't make me feel like, wow, this is, you know, uplifting. This is good vibes. No, it's like it's evil vibes.
It's like terror.
It's like that. Like they literally about to sacrifice somebody or something. Like something is weird.
That's how it feels.
Like, how dare you? how dare you try to do what you're doing to Christianity? Like, what?
I did like seeing Kim's Vogue, her home tour. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
The clips of her cars and everything. That was super
She's so
cute.
Rich.
It's such a it flex. Nice. She's so rich. And that jet, the $95 million jet.
I didn't see that. She has a $95 million jet,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, $95 million jet, completely custom, matches the same creams as her cars. It's called Kim Air, custom interior. She worked with the same guy who did Courtney's home.
Wow.
And it's stunning.
Wow. So it's she stunning. Basically takes her jet everywhere. Is this
yeah,
home?
Basically.
$95 million. Wow.
I mean, when you're a billionaire, what's $95
million? Right.
I mean, that's two deals in a year. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure mm-hmm. make it back.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, I can't even hate.
You really can't.
Live your life.
Do what you got to do.
And whatever that makes her happy right now with Kanye going on daily tirades, I'm here for it.
Running around do with it. Lookalikes. That's the other thing. That's fucking weird. Have you seen the girl he's with?
Mm-hmm.
Looks just like a great value Kim.
And the body is just, eek.
Mm.
Eek.
Mm.
I definitely just saw a mosquito in here. What is happening?
I don't know. I'm trying to get you, girl.
They're trying to get me. But yeah, I think that, you know, it's a Monday too. Monday is Mondaying, and I need to get something to eat. And I think that we covered all of the things that we needed to cover today.
I believe so.
I think we did. You know, we got here and we talked about the things and, you know, talked to Love Muffins, gave them an update. Oh, gotta kill the fuck. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. You okay?
Yes.
Do I need to call an ambulance?
No. It was a mosquito.
Oh, my God. Did it get you? Did you get it?
I don't know. I hope I got it. Did I
All that
it?
Noise, I hope you got it.
Baby, I was in here fighting for my life.
Oh, my God. Like, never
mind. On that note, Love Muffins. Thank you for listening to the podcast as always and being here with us as we deal with hangovers and kill mosquitoes and come back from vacations from both of our hata. And I mean, yeah, today was good and
tomorrow
thank
will be,
you.
Tomorrow will be better.
Yep. I think mosquito just tried to get me again. I saw something move.
Okay, we'll go kill it.
I'm going to go kill it. And until next time, love my kids, double kisses. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.